Brilliance Audio presents Belonging by Nancy Thayer, performed by Sarah Zimmerman. The television screen showed a family and their guest at ease in a luxuriant garden. The man wore white flannels and held on his lap, recumbent in the curve of his arm, his curly-haired daughter, fresh as peppermint in a pink sundress. Leaning toward them in indolent possession, a pregnant woman clad in a floral smock reclined on a white wicker chaise, her hand with its glinting diamonds draped complacently against her abdomen. The other woman wore a crisp silk suit of a green so pale it was nearly white. She was not pregnant, and she wore no rings. She spoke. Until next time, this is Joanna Jones with Fabulous Homes. Joanna Jones smiled, tilting her head slowly so that her blonde hair slid rippling against her shoulder, catching the sun. The camera moved steadily back, opening up the scene to focus on the house. Massive and stony as a castle, it was softened by trellises of roses and window boxes spilling with flowers. In the open door, a black lab and a white cat sat side by side in a shower of sun. Theme music sparkled in, the credits began to roll. Joanna flicked the remote control and the scene vanished. She was glad. She taped this Tennessee segment just last month, and now, watching the final version from her office in the CVN building on 3rd Avenue, she was surprised to find that this particular home stirred her emotions, just as it had during her interview and tour. Joanna did not usually lust for possessions or envy others their lives, but the pretty little curly-haired girl and her smug pregnant mother made her feel oddly lonely and filled her with an unsettling, powerful longing. Secretly, she chided herself. She should feel exhilarated. She should feel smug. She'd completed another show for next year's series. This one was slotted for next March. It would be a welcome spot of fresh air and flowery bloom, right when her audience would be most desperate, most receptive, most eager for spring to come. It would cheer everyone. "That's it," she announced to the two men watching her. "It's good," Jake told her. Jake Corcoran was vice president in charge of network programming for CVN. A benevolent dictator, his opinions were famous in the cable television business for being precocious, brilliant, and trendsetting. Jake had been the first to endorse Joanna's show, and she had not let him down. Jake was right. The show was really good. Her shows kept getting better and better. The fan mail proved it, as did the caliber of guests who opened their homes to her. And before all that, before the airing of the produced shows and the response of the audience, before the praise of her employers and the compliments from her colleagues, before she even saw the first videotapes on the monitor, she knew as she was planning and writing and hosting the shows that were so good, so substantial, so meaty, that they were no longer merely entertaining. They were significant. They were worthwhile. The essential focus of Joanna Jones' Fabulous Homes was not on the celebrity of the owners, or the costliness of the statues in the garden, or the prestige of the architect or interior decorator. The homes Joanna profiled were not museums of fabulously expensive, fragile, and unusable antiques. In FH houses, there were cookie crumbs on the counters, silk shirts flung on the chaise longues, dog hair under the sofas, and open novels lying on the sunroom floors. The air was electric, ringing with calls down the stairwell, and doors slamming shut, and bathwater bubbling, and little boys wrestling, and maids muttering over their caviar ceviche. Joanna Jones' Fabulous Homes were lived in by families, and although they were families of notable people, writers, painters, movie directors, actors, corporate leaders, statesmen, professors, the emphasis was not on the fame or wealth, but on the family life.